Ben Lyons back for more ESPN LA Sedano Show, ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests on the Sedano Show appear by the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. What a night last night out in Orlando. Lots to get into from the Lakers win over the Nuggets. I was sitting there watching the game and going back and forth with my dad, and I'm introducing him to who Bol Bol is. You know, Bol Bol played his first NBA game just two weeks ago, as part of this restart in Orlando. I'm showing my dad who Michael Porter Jr. is. Kid doesn't miss a shot in the half, and he's lights out. He looks like if the bad guys in the Mighty Ducks grew up. He looks like the bad guy in every 80s, 90s sports movie 10 years later. This guy looks like a future man. Who is Michael Porter Jr.? So if all the excitement is around all these young Nuggets and this team that might be finding himself, well, something tells me number zero is going to come to the party with a chip on his shoulder. And sure enough, Kyle Kuzma put on a show last night and hit a big shot. You all saw it. You heard it. You've seen the tweets. And it's such a big deal to me because I look at the current state of this Laker team, which was struggling. Three losses in a row. The bubble's weird. You can chalk it up to the seeding already be done and kind of existing in this weird limbo of we're preparing for the postseason, but we're not really trying to win this game, but we're also trying to put these lineups together that we might not need to use. But it just is a little... felt a little scattered, to be honest, the last few nights watching the Lake show, especially against Indiana. So here you have Kyle Kuzma, who, if you go back to the beginning of this season, when Anthony Davis was traded to the Lakers, it wasn't just, okay, we got AD. He's the last of the young kids remaining. Let's collectively move forward. Oh, no, don't forget. The AD trade was done well before the July 1st free agent signings were made official. So that was done, what, end of June last year? So Kuzma, it has to exist in this limbo of, well, am I the third guy? Are they elevating me? Oh, no, they're trying to go get Kawhi still. Oh, they're still out free agent hunting. Oh, JJ Redick's in the mix. Oh, so it didn't really feel fully embraced beyond simply, hey, we didn't send you down to New Orleans. Then he gets a shot to play with Team USA in the global games or the world games. And while that might not seem a lot because it's not an Olympic year, it's a big deal for a young player to be part of the Team USA program and to go overseas representing the country. And he's having a nice little tune-up for that. And then he rolls his ankle and something with his foot and his leg. He's never finds his footing this season. Doesn't really get off to a good start. Never healthy. And like traditional LeBron teams, that third guy kind of struggling to find his footing. You know, you think of Chris Bosh as the third wheel down in Miami. It was often such a brunt of the criticism, such a focus of the criticism, took a brunt of it. And then you had, you know, Kevin Love, who would often get made fun of in Cleveland for not being in the photos on the plane with LeBron or being the odd man out in the third wheel and all hype. And well, now you have Kyle Kuzma, who is not even nearly the accomplished player that Kevin Love or Chris Bosh was at this point in their careers, multiple time all-stars and things like that, high profile free agents. It's the guy who was traded by the team that drafted him. It's a guy who had kind of been overlooked playing at Utah, secondary, big major program. So he's playing with a chip on his shoulder. He's, you know, staying within himself. And he gets a moment last night, and they draw up the play to perfection. It's just a great moment for this Laker team. And for him to hit that shot after trying to get the charge, he did the right basketball play. The play before, he gets called for the blocking foul. His night could have easily gone another way. But Frank Vogel draws it up. Kyle Kuzma hits it. And forever, as basketball fans, we are now going to have this piece of sound, which I'm about to play you, which is just so tremendous. And we're going to get to a lot today. Laura, can you tee up what Kyle had to say about the last shot of the game afterwards?
I think Jesus could be in front of me, and I'll probably still shoot. So, I mean, it don't really matter to me. Just got an open look. It's a play that we kind of ran and practiced a few times, you know, prior to the restart. And, you know, coach had faith in me and just called my number, and I, you know, paid off.
That's the Straight Talk from Kyle Kuzma. Straight Talk Wireless has the full court cell phone coverage you need. Just $45 a month gets you the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G for up to 50% less than the big carriers. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. For that young man to come out there afterwards and say, yeah, Jesus Christ in front of him, he still would have shot it. Not only is a basketball moment that's going to be part of Kyle's journey, but speaks to the confidence you have to really assert yourself alongside LeBron James and alongside Anthony Davis. Now, I got to be honest, I haven't seen the footage. I didn't watch him play in college in Jerusalem. I didn't see him coming up in the game. I don't know what kind of defender Jesus is. If he has a wingspan like Bol Bol, that's impressive. But Kyle Kuzma with the confidence that had to make his coach happy. What did Frank Vogel say about it after the game?
I think it's unlikely that we keep him in a starting lineup. It's something I want to look at, you know, something we have available with, depending on what matchup we're looking at, you know, we're likely going to need two quick guards, the way most of these teams, that we could be facing, it's a small ball league, you know, so. We're going to need speed, defensive speed on the perimeter. So, you know, KCP and Danny is likely the starting lineup. But, you know, again, you get in different matchups. You know, their three-man is 6'10", and Michael Porter Jr. So, I mean, if you get into a matchup against Denver or against another team that is big like this, that could be an option for us. So it's just another part of the trial and error and evaluation of looking at different things during these seeding games.
I love the voice of reason right there. Everyone's gassed. Everyone's excited. Kyle hits a big shot. I'd shoot over Jesus. I'm confident. Well, Frank Vogel comes in, the sobering adult, voice of reason, and says, well, let's see what our matchups look like in terms of Kyle starting in the future. And, you know, starting still means a lot to guys. I know it might sound a little juvenile, but it's true. And you saw Kyle after the game saying, everyone in this league knows I'm a starter. I'm just playing behind the two best players in the league or two of the best players in the world. And so to guys, it's definitely a point of pride to be a starter, and you see the ones who are able to switch that mentality and embrace coming off the bench, whether it's Lou Williams or Jamal Crawford and J.R. Smith at one point in his career, that they're able to embrace that and have success. But it takes a little bit of humble pie. It usually comes a little bit later on in your career. Kyle's still ascending. This guy's a star. I mean, look at him. Follow him on Instagram. I mean, as my friend Count on Vic tweeted, you know, Kuz can wear the sweater with the holes in again, and we don't care. We were going to continue to stand for him because this guy's an Instagram model. He's got the confidence of a number one dude. So he's going to take shots like a number one dude. So it's been a struggle for Kyle. Let's be honest, this entire year to find his footing and to have that happen, it speaks to the power of coaching too. Because Frank Vogel, when you're a coach, you have choices to make. You choose who you want to start. You choose how many minutes your guys are going to play. You choose what type of offense you want to run. Your day is constantly filled with choices. You hope to, as the leader of the team, to make good ones, and then your players will follow suit. You could have easily taken that moment to say, LeBron James, best player on the planet, you get the last shot. That's the way it goes. I make that choice. Would it have been a bad choice? Of course not. It's LeBron James. Anthony Davis has been so under the microscope for the way he performs or lack thereof his performances in the fourth quarter. Maybe they take those last few seconds to run an ISO set for AD and get him a shot off to see if he can get some confidence going. But no, Frank Vogel made the conscious choice last night to draw up a play for Kyle Kuzma to build his confidence up, to get him to feel a part of this whole Laker run. And it paid off in big ways. Now, Shaq said something, Greg, last night in the broadcast afterwards, that, like Frank Vogel, was a sobering kind of reminder of there's still more work to be done. Shaq gets very sensitive when you refer to Kyle Kuzma as part of the big three. You think last night's shot kind of establishes Kyle as part of the big three in Los Angeles, Greg?
I mean, you would hope so, but I still think that it's going to be a different guy that's the third guy every single night. I love what Kyle Kuzma has done in the bubble especially, but to call him a part of the big three, I mean, if that gets him his confidence and he's hitting 18 to 20 points a game every night, great, and he goes there for that, but he's not there yet. He is not the third wheel in the big three right now.
When he scores 18 plus points, they're 11-2. When all three guys score 20 plus points, they're 2-1. So when he balls out, they have success. So don't they need him to be the big three?
I mean, he's the one. He's the guy that's supposed to be. I mean, he was always, from the beginning of training camp in the summer when he was in at Team USA, he was supposed to be the third guy on the big three. But the inconsistency that he's shown throughout the year has made it so that he hasn't been that guy. In the bubble, I've actually been very impressed with him, and hopefully because he doesn't have the pressure of playing in front of fans, and which we're seeing with a lot of guys, actually, it's like TJ Warren and Michael Porter Jr. And Kyle Kuzma, guys that are just balling out with nobody in front of, with nobody behind them. Hopefully that's what's going on with him right now. So if he can be the third guy, let's, I'm all for it.
It gets back to choices, because Kyle is someone who's young. He's in the limelight. He's out there. He's a star. He's Kuz. He's on the gram. He's, we get it, right? It's okay. Having young, successful in Los Angeles, go out there and have a good time. But the choices we make oftentimes as young men can define us for the rest of our lives, or the choices we make, now we have to, you know, reap what we sow, if you will. So Kyle, by maybe being in a bubble environment, some of the choices that he might make might be taken off the table. He doesn't have to make those choices anymore. You just go and play basketball, and I think you're on to something. And we've got Amin Alhassan calling in a little bit later. Ben Lyons filling in for Sedano all week long here on ESPN LA, except for Thursday, because the Lakers have their final seeding game of the year against the Sacramento Kings, and it's an early tip on Thursday. So no show for us Thursday, but I'm here all week, and we're going to have Amin on the show. And let's see if there's some truth to that theory, Greg, that guys are able to have sort of a different approach to the game by being in the bubble. So it changes who the star players are, who the key players are, which teams have to feature and focus on certain guys. So if Kuzma's a bubble guy, if he makes the all bubble team, that's only a good thing for the Lakers, because LeBron, talk about pressure. LeBron had some interesting quotes for about, you know, Kyle Kuzma and the role he has for this Laker team. We'll get into that coming up a little bit later on in the show. Plus, we're going to keep you posted on the status of college football, as any day, at any moment now, the Pac-12 is expected to be releasing some type of statement about what they collectively do as a league and how that affects USC and UCLA, of course. We'll get into all of it, plus a tough night out at Dodger Stadium. Ben Lyons filling in for Sedano on 710 ESPN. Ben Lyons here filling in for Sedano. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Call or click today and find out if we could save you hundreds on your car insurance. Talking about Kyle Kuzma, the big shot he hit last night. I know I was texting with you guys a little bit, and Lakers, despite AD listening to our show and coming out strong out of the gate, clearly a loyal listener of 710 ESPN, because he heard us calling him out last night and balled out from the start. They still looked a little flat. Not going to lie. Let's nitpick a little bit, right? We can wake up with a positive attitude, or we can wake up with and say, yeah, they were good, but so let's do a little bit of that and get some realism in here for a moment. Anthony Davis struggles with double teams, doesn't he, Greg?
Oh yeah. He's having some major issues with double teams, where if once a second guy comes on him, he kind of gets like, he gets a little jolted, and he has to throw in balls out of bounds, just turning the ball over. It's a tough spot for him, but I thought yesterday was actually their best offensive performance of the bubble, and it wasn't even close.
Yeah, they looked significantly better on offense last night. So much more fluid, and when guys are moving without the basketball, cutting like they were, they're going to get easy shots. Nice to see Deion Waiters give him a little spark, and that's all you need from a guy like that. Hit three shots in a row, get him going, 12 points, keep him moving. But AD, he's so good, Greg. He's amazing. He's one of the great – if I came down like an eyeball alien test, you'd be like, that's one of the great athletes on planet Earth, let alone basketball players. Yet he takes two shots in the fourth quarter again and played 38 minutes. So what? Well, why can't I just grab him and shake him and say, yo, get it together, dude?
Well, so I was thinking about this. Like, so on the box score, yeah, it says he had two shots. But, and we were talking about this before the show also. But he had six foul shots in that. He went 5 of 6 from the free throw line. So to get to the free throw line, you got to be putting up a shot to get,
well said,
get fouled.
Well said.
So that's more than the two shots he's actually having. So in that case, there's six. So that's at least five shots. And he put up 7 points. So at least that's he's hitting his foul shots in those situations and getting to the rim. I think that's
what you love to see. And the defense too. And the defense is going to be there for them. We know it is. They're such a long team, versatile team. Defense is not something that is a great concern on this team, because despite not having Rondo and Bradley, they're able to provide so many different matchups, and Danny Green is such a versatile defender. But you're right, the offense is kind of flowing and humming last night, and it's a testament to Kyle Kuzma. I mean, I'm not the only one who thinks that. I mean, LeBron James spoke after the game about just how important he is to this team, the future success they want to have deep into October now, and here's what LeBron had to say about Kuz.
You said throughout the year that you've got confidence in Kuz and in what his role in on this team has evolved. What have you made of this play in the bubble, and how do you think that could have changed things, if at all, as you guys get into the postseason games?
I think the best thing about the, the time that we had off is Kuz got an opportunity to get healthy. You know, he was hampered with his foot injury, ankle injury throughout a lot of the season, so he was always playing catch up. It allowed himself to get healthy, and you know, he put a lot of work, and you know, his confidence is just, you know, soaring. You know, he's playing some good ball, but more importantly, defensively, he's just been locked in, you know, and just taking a challenge on any given night. No matter if it's his opponent or anyone is scoring, it doesn't matter. You know, he's taking a challenge, and that's a step in the right direction of his growth.
Yeah, I mean, Mike Trudell on the question there too, and you know, it's so true. Kyle is growing right in front of us. He had so much success early on while the team was struggling, but now when you're contributing on a team that's competing for a championship, it's a whole other level of expectations. It's a whole other set of pressures that you have to deal with, responsibilities, and these are the moments. We talk about it a lot with bad teams, but it's applicable for good teams. You have to have moments throughout the season that you can point to and rally around. And despite the success that they've collectively had as a group in terms of amassing a number of wins, if you look at a couple of the big moments throughout the year, a little bit of a letdown. I mean, you know, let's take everything off the court aside, but just in terms of the actual basketball, first night of the year, they get pounced by the Clippers. They lose on Christmas to the Clippers. You know, some of the big moments, you know, some of the matchups, maybe not as exciting as they could have played out. But so they get a big emotional win. And Jared Greenberg from TNT, who did a great job last night on the broadcast, I thought he did he was talking about how this group in particular is struggling with chemistry in the bubble. And Greg, you were saying the younger guys, the sort of second tier players, the TJ Warrens, if you will, seem to be having more individual success in the bubble, maybe than some of the more established star players. And I think maybe that's a reason why, is that bubble life plays to a younger, more AAU tournament style kind of a guy who's not as far removed from the basketball camp life as, say, as somebody who is a father, who has businesses or investments or is distractions off the court that they have to attend to between their basketball obligations during the bubble. That might be the theory.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty good theory too, because like, look, if you watch, everybody follows at NBA bubble life, right? I mean, on Twitter, that has all it's showing is all these guys, they're either golfing or they're you know, going fishing or they're, you know, shotgunning beers. But you don't really see the older guys doing those types of things. So they're all just kind of comfortable. They go out, they do their thing, they go practice, and then all it is just them on the court. So they're much more free and not really thinking about anything else that's happening, because they don't have to, because they don't have all those things you're talking about, the businesses, the big families, you know, all what other distractions that you have outside of the bubble. So it's interesting. I mean, if you put together a all NBA team of just all NBA bubble team, the big names are probably not really there.
Well, let's put together our little all-NBA bubble team throughout the show, because we got Amino Hassan coming on at 10:40, and he'll have some names, obviously, to add to that as well. So I'm going to start to put together some bubble folks, some bubble all-stars. It was funny, on the post-game, they were saying, nobody cares who the bubble MVP is. Nobody cares if you're all bubble. That's so lame. But it's not. For these Lakers, for Kyle Kuzma, his resurgence in the bubble is paramount for them to win a championship. They needed him to have a good seeding couple of games to find his footing, and LeBron said get healthy. But think about this. Okay, so you're LeBron James. You've got the responsibility of leading your team, being the sort of patriarch for the NBA players in a lot of ways. You are this symbol of of greatness. We're all witness. You're more than an athlete. You're taking on voter suppression. He's a father. He's got to guard Jokic. He's doing everything. And so after the game, you got to answer questions about Dwayne Wade's unbuttoned shirt and his you know, Eddie Murphy Raw outfit that he put together on TNT. And then you have to answer this question about Kyle Kuzma shooting over Jesus.
Do I have to answer that question? Kuz is a confident kid, confident young man, and I'm happy to have him on our side. You know, you have that confidence, and he goes on and just plays. You know, he's worked a lot, like I said. He's still young, and it's crazy. He's only in his third year, but, you know, he's gotten better. His game is starting to slow down. He's starting to see the game at a pace which works not only for himself, but works for our team. But, you know, confident player, and you got to have confidence to be able to take a shot like that and make it.
He's always had that confidence. Is he starting to earn your confidence? Not just yours, but, you know, his teammates' confidence, you think?
No. He's our – I mean, he's – in order for us to win a championship, he has to be our third best player. And if I'm struggling or if AD's struggling, he has to be our second best player, you know, any given night. I mean, it's just, you know, we can't win a championship if Kuz doesn't play well.
We can't win a championship if Kuz doesn't play well. Ben Lyons filling in for Sedano. That's LeBron James talking last night after the Lakers' big 124-121 win over the Denver Nuggets, who had kind of an interesting approach to the fourth quarter, Greg. You know, you had early success in the game for Michael Porter Jr. and Jamal Murray, who I love and kind of put on the tier of Mike Connolly point guards and very, very good, solid guy. Bol Bol is looking like John Elway out there, throwing passes like I've never seen before. But Jokic, none of the starters, none of them played in the fourth quarter last night. But yet, I'm not sitting here today saying that doesn't mean that what the Lakers did was impressive. They're just on a different timeline and have a different strategy than what the Lakers were hoping to accomplish out of last night. But the young Nuggets did not back down at all. I'm super impressed by Bol Bol. You were shocked that Anthony Davis didn't just take you right to the young kid.
Yeah, I was sitting there the whole time being like, look, it's Bol Bol. Anthony Davis, just get the ball. It's not, you're not going up against against Jokic or even Paul Millsap, who have these big bodies. It's this teeny, it's like this thin dude.
Teeny?
Bol Bol. Not teeny. He's very tall. Very tall. Very tall. Not sorry.
He's the son of Manute Bol. He comes from basketball blocking shot royalty.
Right, but he's also 7'2 and like 165. So, I mean, the dude is very, very thin. If you're Anthony Davis and you have a guy that's 165, which I don't know the exact weight, guarding you.
I think you might be being generous. You might be generous at $165.
Like soaking
that's if
wet,
they got
right?
in and out in the bubble. Yeah.
But you should be taking it to the rim and like showing him like, hey man, like I get you're tall and you like to block shots, but I'm Anthony Davis. I can get through anybody. I'm getting through Paul Millsap. I'm getting through Jokic with ease. You got nothing on me, and they didn't.
I don't
even
know, man. Bol Bol, he's that. I mean, that's what makes that Kyle Kuzma shot even that much more impressive. Is he got it over Bol Bol, 7'8" coming at him. So, it's a reminder to. I hate the phrase "stay in your lane" because of the origins from when it came from of LeVar being mean to Christine on that show and the whole thing. I just don't like the concept of it. But the idea of you have work in front of you, do your work, focus on your job. What your collective group is doing and try to put blinders on to what everybody else is doing. Because if the Lakers had paid attention to the fact that the Nuggets weren't playing their star players last night, maybe they take the foot off the gas a little bit. Maybe they don't take that confidence that they get from that Kyle Kuzma shot with them to the next game. Cause they say, yeah, well, it wasn't against the A-list guys. No, stay in your lane, stay in your timeline and your focus. Do what you got to do. Run a great play at the end of the game. You draw it up for Kuz. And I'm so impressed with Frank Vogel and the outcome of that game last night. A huge Laker win. If not, arguably the biggest win of the season for emotional reasons. And we'll get into some of that next. Plus, we got Amino Hassan coming up on the show. Lots to get into on a Tuesday. It's Ben Lyons filling in for Sedano. This is 710 ESPN. Ben Lyons filling in for George, ESPN LA. As always, ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. I love a little baseball trivia this time of year. And sadly, we lost someone, Greg. You know who Carol Hardy was?
I don't.
He died on August 9th. Carol Hardy, the only player to pinch hit for Ted Williams, Carl Yastrzemski, and Roger Maris. That's impressive for a no-name guy, or a journeyman, if you will. You pinch hits for Ted Williams, Carl Yastrzemski, and Roger Maris, was a former San Francisco 49er. Carol Hardy gone on August 9th, and sad to announce that, but happy to learn about his life and his career. So I love those little nuggets about the game, and we're going to try to seep in a few more throughout the show. And speaking of random players and players outperforming their names, if you will, talk to me about some of the names coming up on our ESPN LA Twitter, at ESPN Los Angeles, for who the bubble MVPs are, because we got who the all bubble team is, because we got some interesting names.
So the all bubble team, this is from Starfish and Coffee, who loves the show, always on. Says,
what up, Starfish? Pascal Siakam.
Pascal Siakam, but I mean, he's a really good player just in general. Devin Booker, another really great player, but has been fantastic. TJ Warren, Ivica Zubac, who has basically been perfect or close to perfect in the bubble, and James Harden. I think I would add Michael Porter Jr. in there somewhere, right?
I mean, again, Michael Porter Jr. does look like he was part of like the Cobra Kai and then grew up a little bit.
Right. I mean, he was averaging like 7 points before the bubble, and then now he's around like 30.
If you told me that he was trying to steal Nick Cannon's girlfriend in Drumline or something, I'd believe you.
If that's the perfect role for him, I could absolutely see that. They're like Michael staring Porter each other Jr. down while they're drumming on the thing. No, this is my
totally.
Girl.
Totally. He's got his Letterman jacket on. He's like the big star. He's like the guy that like Will Smith would beef with on The Fresh Prince or something. He looks like Michael Porter Jr. Michael Porter Jr. looks like he's from the year 3000.
Right? I love that. He really does. Let me get a picture of him, because
he honestly, his haircut is like on some future things, like with lines. He looks like in the movie Demolition Man. He'd be one of like Simon Phoenix's like henchmen or something.
He's one of the dudes that he doesn't even talk though. When he's Simon Phoenix's henchman, he's there. He's right, like staring you down.
He doesn't get lines in Demolition Man. He's a featured player in Drumline and Mighty Ducks 5, but he's not in.
He's like one of the big Iceland's return kind of like.
Totally. What an interesting story. Maybe 14th pick in the draft. I mean, the Knicks could have had him. They got Kevin Knox. Happy 21st birthday to that guy today. But yeah, please. I mean, Michael Porter Jr. clearly coming into the league with something to prove and had injury stuff. And same with Bol Bol. I mean, it goes to show you roll the dice and you take a chance on these kids. They might pan out, but even Bol Bol, like you were saying, like, yes, he is not as physically developed as hopefully he will be later in his career. I almost feel like you can be too tall in basketball. Like, there's a reason why historically very few players north of 7'1 have been truly elite.
Well, yeah, because they're always way too thin. I mean, Sean Bradley was one of those guys. Manute Bol, even though he was a great shot blocker, was still, you know, overly thin and didn't really last all that long. So yeah, if you don't put on a little bit of weight, that's gonna, I mean, who was it? Was it Reggie or was it Shaq that we're talking about how he looks like he could be pretty good. He just got to put on 60 pounds.
Oh yeah. They said he has to put on 60 pounds.
What are you going to do? You're just going to eat burgers all day and sandwiches. And
he's 20 years old. And to see some of those passes and just to watch him dribble the ball up the floor last night and put it through his legs, you're like, oh my God, is this the future of basketball? But besides, I mean, Durant, Porzingis, other than that, when you're north of 7 feet, you know, you become kind of more of a one-dimensional player, a Mark Eaton shock blocker. I mean, Yao had success, but I mean, George Nurisson, Boban, you're kind of like stuck. Bol Bol last night was just like really fun to watch and was just, I don't know, man. I'm all in on that guy. I'm a lot higher on him than you are, it sounds like.
Well, no, it's not that I'm down on him by any means. He actually did. He has a good 3-point shot. He's got great passing abilities. He actually does have handle, which was pretty interesting to see. But I mean, he's still pretty young. I think he's way too thin. I think guys inside are going to just eat him alive, which I thought Anthony Davis should have been able to do.
Yeah, well, AD looked great. And I joke and say he was listening to our show because yesterday, Greg, I said I would have loved to come on with you and Laura and been like, hey, AD's the MVP. That guy's incredible. He's the man. And I probably would have led the show that way had Kuz not hit that shot and stepped up the way he did, because AD really did look fantastic for the first, you know, three quarters last night, even glimpses in the fourth. But really, to start the game was as if he were listening to the putback dunk too at the end of the half. I mean, that's the alpha, the aggressor. You want to see it in him. Can he, you know, bring that out during this postseason run? We'll obviously find out. But you had to be excited about seeing what he did last night to start the game.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there was one play where Michael Porter Jr. was going up for a dunk, for an alley-oop dunk, and AD just jumped up, grabbed it with two hands, shot it out, got it to LeBron, and then he came all the way up floor, got it at the three-point line, did a little pump fake, and went right into the basket and scored. So it was just a great offensive and defensive play all at the same time. That's the aggressive Anthony Davis that you need to see game in and game out in the playoffs. I understand what's going on right now in the bubble, but if you can have that guy game in and game out, then it's going to be very difficult to get past this Laker team.
Yeah, now that was in one play in particular, too, where I felt like it was a video game glitch. When you try and throw alley-oops right. in video games, it's really hard. Usually they get snatched out of the air by a guy like that, and that's what AD did on that play. But while we're all excited about Kuz today, and we're all looking forward to seeing this Laker postseason run, something else popped out last night that I am concerned about with this Laker team. And it's once again the bench play being inferior to their opponents. That's the strength of the Clippers. They're deeper than the Lakers. They might not have the length or the size, but they definitely have the numbers. And over a long seven-game series, a physical series, that's going to come into play, especially when role players who oftentimes don't perform on the road in the playoffs will be that much more important, I think, is in bubble setting. Greg's been talking about how the middle tier guys have been able to excel. So I would say the Clippers have superior middle tier guys in the Lakers. Last night, the Denver Nuggets bench. Denver still without Will Barton, still without Gary Harris. They've got some guys injured. They're throwing random guys out there. Their bench played the entire fourth quarter and looked really good last night. I still, if I'm fine tuning and tweaking and nitpicking this number one seeded LA Laker team that's going to have the opportunity to have some rest going into the playoffs next week, I would still pause for concern from the bench production, which is why Kuzma's performance and why he needs to stay on the bench is so, so important for this team. Because if you're relying on Dion Waiters and Dwight Howard and J.R. Smith and what other cast-offs you can mention from this team, Jared Dudley, who I'm not convinced is better than me, then I think you guys are going to have a problem on your hands. So the bench is still something to focus on, which gives us focus for the game Thursday. Again, a testament to Frank Vogel for maximizing his time in the bubble, trying to get something out of this limbo time. I'm not going on a limb here by saying I doubt LeBron or Anthony Davis sees any serious action on Thursday. You're going to be seeing Dwight and JR and Jared Dudley and the bench, and they'll use that as a tune-up game. So taking advantage of the opportunities and the moments presented to you. All right, we've got Amino Hassan coming up at 10:40, who, as you guys know, is a big Star Wars fan. Apparently, Laura, I'm just finding this out. You know nothing about Star Wars?
I don't. I've never been a Star Wars person. I love the rides at Disney, but other than that, nope.
They've done a really nice job with the rides at Disney. That new Millennium Falcon is killer. But what's the plot of Star Wars, Laura?
Somewhere in the sky. I have no clue. I really don't.
Somewhere in the sky? It's not a Beatles song.
It's not a bedtime melody.
I mean, that's all I got.
Greg, do you read your daughter Star Wars to put her to sleep at night?
I say, somewhere in the sky, this droid is not the one you're looking for.
Sedona would be so mad right now.
Curious to hear how Amin is able to explain to Laura the plot of Star Wars, as well as talk about Kyle Kuzma. And I want to get to Laura's headlines because, guys, we're on this text message, Shane, as I'm sitting in for George this week, and I'm, you know, we're talking about stories and we're watching the games last night. The stories that Laura finds in the news are fascinating. So we need to dedicate a segment to Laura's headlines. Let's say we'll do that at 11:30 because Yeah, I don't know what's in your Google search, but it's definitely different than mine. All right, Amino Hassan, when we return, Ben Lyons filling in for Sedano, 710 ESPN. Sedano show rolls on. Ben Lyons filling in for George. Pennzoil synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Ben Lyons filling in for Sedano, joined on the phone by Amino Hassan, who not only is an expert in all things hoops, but also loves the world of Star Wars and knows today that it's President Palpatine's birthday. So I'm sure he's celebrating in style. But Amin, Laura works on our show, doesn't know what Star Wars is about. Can you explain the plot of the movies to her?
No. Wow. No, I can't. It's because if I told you what it's about, it probably wouldn't make sense. What is it about? Like, if you look at it, what Star Wars is actually about, it's about the life of Anakin Skywalker, right? The rise and fall of Anakin Skywalker. But I think if you polled, like, thousands of Star Wars fans, they might tell you something different. Oh, it's about Luke Skywalker. Oh, it's about the fight of good versus evil. Oh, it's the fight of, you know, the underdog versus the overwhelming favorite. And I guess all those answers are true in some shape or form, but to me, it's the story of Anakin Skywalker. It's a guy who was incredibly gifted and was seduced by the dark side and became a bad dude, and then ultimately was redeemed on his deathbed, because redemption is never too late for any of us, is, I guess, what I would call Star Wars.
Well said, Amin, and I think there, Laura can identify that there are some themes in there that we can take and apply to our own lives, where, for example, if we're looking at the story of the Lakers, some people might think it's the story of LeBron James in year 17. Will he be able to rise above the haters and still have the skills to win one more? Or is it Anthony Davis proving that he is an alpha and can lead a team to a championship? Or, as we saw last night, Amin, is it the story of Kyle Kuzma? And can this man be consistent and a legitimate member of a big three to win a title? What can we take away from Kuz last night?
If it's the story of Kuzma, the Laker Nation's in big trouble. You got Anthony Davis and LeBron, but really, the Lakers is the story of Kyle Kuzma coming into his own. That's a little scary. But that said, that doesn't mean he doesn't play a part. Right. And maybe even a major part. And, you know, part of that is his aggressiveness on the offensive end. But also part of that is what appears to have been a renewed vigor on the defensive end, at least what we've seen here in the bubble. And ultimately, to me, that's the stuff that's going to keep him on the floor and allow him to do all the offensive stuff, because his ability to guard people, or his potential to guard people, I should say, gives Frank Vogel a lot of flexibility with lineups, particularly as we all imagine at some point or another, the Lakers are going to have to go to a small lineup with Anthony Davis at the five. And so Kuzma's ability to play the four and more importantly, defend at the four is going to be critical to that.
Amin El-Hassan joining the show. Ben Lyons filling in for George Sedano on 710 ESPN. Don't forget, this season, Hard Knocks will follow two teams, the Los Angeles Rams and Los Angeles Chargers. Watch the premiere tonight at 10 p.m. HBO and stream it on HBO Max. If we could follow the Lakers around the bubble over their two off days, Amin, would we see them playing ping pong together and playing cornhole against the Dallas Mavericks and barbecuing? Or, because this is an older veteran team, are the guys off in their own silos doing their own thing and not really finding that communal time, you think, to make bonds in the bubble?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Jaylen Brown of the Celtics was talking about this the other day, about just from a mental peace of mind aspect, you need to disconnect. He said, and the bubble makes it hard to disconnect. It makes it hard to leave work behind, because most of the time you leave the arena, you leave practice facility, you come home and you're home. I don't have to deal with anybody from work. I don't have to do anything work-related as long as I'm home. Now they're kind of surrounded by it 24/7. And what Jaylen Brown said is, like, some days I don't want to see Donovan Mitchell, right? Donovan's my guy. We're friends. But, like, I don't want to see you anymore. I want to be alone. And so I imagine, you know, the Lakers, obviously 17 guys with very different agendas. You know, I imagine
Costa, for instance, is probably hanging out with his brothers because you don't get to do that on a regular basis. Meanwhile, I could see LeBron, sitting up in his fortress at the top of Space Mountain or wherever they put his hotel room at, and like just being alone and detaching and disconnecting from everybody else.
And that's why I think last night was so important for this team, because it's something they can rally around together as a group, and you see them celebrating and having fun and bringing joy to this very stressful and uncomfortable and unusual situation. J.R. Smith pouring water on Kyle Kuzma. The guy loves pouring stuff on people's heads, huh?
Well, to be fair, the soup was never confirmed that it was over the head. I believe the soup.
You got
was more
the soup. You got when they won the title out in Vegas. You got last night. Yeah. The guy just loves it.
Hey, what says these are my emotions better than pouring liquid on someone?
But do you see that joy from that Laker team, and do you feel like it's kind of a release in some ways, because they are under so much pressure. They are in this unusual environment. So to see them rally around one of their role players kind of helps give them a lift, I would imagine, going into the postseason.
Yeah, it's funny, Ben, was before the shutdown, I would have said that the Lakers were one of the strongest chemistry teams. One of the teams that really did seem to get along and like each other genuinely off the court, and it kind of bled over into the play. And, obviously it's a lot harder to tell these things from here, from outside the bubble, but it doesn't seem as harmonious as they were earlier this year, but maybe that's just because they haven't been playing that well.
No, you're absolutely right. And I was more confident for their chances going into the bubble than I have been watching them perform during the bubble. However, last night, just a real big win, I think, for this group heading into the postseason. And a reminder that some of the role players are the ones who are really shining in the bubble. Greg and I have been putting together an all-bubble team. Who are some of the names that have really popped out as some of the all-stars of the bubble, if you will, for you?
Oh, it definitely starts with TJ Warren. He's just been spectacular last night, notwithstanding. And for TJ, I think a lot of that is opportunity. He's always been a very gifted scorer. The difference is he's getting more opportunities, more looks. And obviously there's a lot more attention in the bubble, where pretty much almost every game is a nationally televised game now. Devin Booker has been sensational for Phoenix. They're undefeated, but he himself has played out of his mind. Let's see who else. I'm drawing a blank here. A lot of fun. Chris Chiosa. Oh, think of speaking of role players. How about Chris Chiosa? I hope he gets paid somewhere. He's been a favorite of mine ever since he was on that G League select team that beat Team USA, and then they ran it back and they beat Team USA harder the second time around. I was like, you know what? I like this dude right here, Chris Chiosa. So,
I've become a big fan of Michael Porter Jr., who I was saying looks like he's one of the bad guys in the Cobra Kai all grown up. Which 80s or 90s movie do you think Michael Porter Jr. would have starred in?
Oh, no, you got it. Karate Kid, man, for sure. For sure. He's the guy. He's the kid, one of the kids where the old sensei says, sweep the leg. The coach, I said, sweep the leg. He's like, all right. He's on the bad side, but at the end, begrudgingly, Daniel LaRusso has earned his respect. I don't think I could think of something better than Karate Kid for him, man, because he's got the haircut. You got a Karate Kid, Dojo Kid haircut.
Strong. So strong, Michael Porter Jr., looking like he's from the year 3000. All right, I'll leave you with this, Amin, who's giving us a Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no promise. If Laura has to go home tonight and watch one Star Wars movie, what's the one to watch?
See, again, like, this is complicated. To me, I would say Empire Strikes Back, but, like, she won't know anybody because everything was established in the first Star Wars, A New Hope. So I would say watch that one, but then I would also argue that one, over time, has held up the worst out of all of them. Star Wars is something that you could just watch one. And it's not like Indiana Jones, right? I say watch Raiders of the Lost Ark and call me later. It's one of those things, either you in or you not in, and that's why I always respect when people say, yeah, I've never watched Star Wars. I'm like, all right, well, that's cool. It might be too late to start.
Yeah. Laura's definitely got her work cut out for her if she's going to keep up with you. Appreciate the insight, buddy. Thanks for checking in. Be well.
No problem. Thanks a lot, man.
Amin El Hassan joining the show. He's absolutely right about Michael Porter Jr. being the guy on the Cobra Kai who has earned the respect. And afterwards, you can tell, yeah, he's bad, but you could tell there's something better in his heart. And that's what I think of when I think of Michael Porter Jr. Hey, the Dodgers lost the baseball game, but I'm not freaking out. Let's get into that next. 710 ESPN.